Be good.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning into the Monkey Tooth Podcast. I'm here with my goofball ass wife, Tiffany.
Hello.
God, we're in Costa Rica at the moment. Pele could just give a shit. He is completely asleep at the foot of this bed, which is not ours. We are not in our van at the moment. The van is in a shop. Looks like we're going to need a new turbo. But the timing is okay because the rest of the world is falling apart. There are much bigger problems than our turbo.
Indeed.
And as it happens, we're heading back to the States on Friday, like in 2 days. As we record this, we're leaving in 2 days. We'll give you the full update in just a moment. But the reason we're recording today is to talk to you about our experience in the country of Nicaragua, which is it's something else. It is an amazing, kind of seems so trite to call something amazing now, because it's, I don't mean sandwich amazing. I mean, it's like we were genuinely amazed by many things in the country. And mm-hmm. we'll tell you about that. We'll tell you about our route, some shit that we saw, maybe some insights, what you should look for if you're interested in going. But first I do kind of want to address this, situation we're in with the global pandemic that is, it's so clearly bizarre. I have no frame of reference for anything remotely like this, other than I felt kind of these same sort of sensations after 9/11, you know, this weird nebulous anxiety around what could happen. And it's an object lesson in how to behave as a human about worrying about things you really can't do anything about.
A lot of unknowns.
Yeah, there are a lot of unknowns for sure. And but there are in this case, whereas there's something nebulous like terrorism, there's, you know, there's all that craziness, like be vigilant. If you see something, say something, all that sort of stuff. Like that wasn't really, I don't think, doing much. Here, like there are things you can actually do about this virus, and most of it is just fucking stay out of public, which is great for me selfishly. I'm perfectly fine with isolating. However, there are real fears, real things that you could fuck up for someone else by showing up hot. You know, you show up to a scene and you're sick, mm-hmm. and you infect someone who is, you know, has some underlying illness or is old or infirm in some way. You could actually kill somebody with this stupid thing.
Yeah.
It's a bizarre
thing. It's a reality.
Thing. Yeah. And we were planning on going back to the States anyway. Tiffany's work, if you don't know, she's a nurse and needs to work kind of at least once a year to still be able to travel nurse, right?
Am I getting that right? Yes. You have to work in your field within the last year to be able to do travel nursing. And my year is up in May. So we planned on already coming back April 13th. We had already booked our flight from Panama City, planned to leave the van there. And then this pandemic took over and the border closed between Costa Rica and Panama. So you cannot drive. And then our flight got canceled. So we're in Costa Rica, and we changed all of our plans and are flying back in 2 days instead of in, I don't know, a week or so. A
couple weeks, yeah.
In hopes that we can get back into our country.
Yeah.
things are changing so rapidly. But thankfully, we're healthy and we're safe.
Yeah.
And that's, we're very fortunate.
We're very, very fortunate. I think about all the people we know out there who can't work at the moment or worried mm-hmm. about how they're going to pay bills and all that sort of thing.
Or all the nurses that are working.
Oh my God, yeah, the nurses. You guys are incredible. It's very incredible. My mom is working right now. Mm-hmm. And she just sent us this crazy text explaining what the scenario is with protective gear. And she's in hospice, so kind of everybody's sort of terminal anyhow. And her whole mission is just to provide safety and comfort and dignity in death to these people who are sort of, I mean, is it okay to say doomed? Is that like...
They're dying.
They're dying, okay.
They're dying.
I mean, we're all dying, but...
Actively dying.
Actively dying. That's a good way to put it. I would say it in a much less delicate way, so I'm glad... You're here. Anyhow, it's so crazy. She has like a single mask that she has to reuse for 4 shifts or something crazy like mm-hmm. that. And they put it in a paper bag every night. It just sounds so bananas to me. So I don't know. I don't feel like the people who listen to this show would be hoarding shit. But if you're hoarding stuff, know that like my 75-year-old mom is out there working and like exposing herself to God knows what. And there's maybe somebody sitting on like 12 masks. Anyway, whatever. If you're hoarding, you're fucking up. That's the bottom line. If you're a hoarder of goods, you're doing it wrong. You're just doing being a person wrong. You're just fucking up. That's my soapbox for this pandemic. But yeah, we are very, very fortunate in the fact that our choices are what they are. I mean, our other option was to stay in Costa Rica, which is not the worst option in the world. Mm-mm. We could have just stayed here on the beach. You know, we're leaving a month early just to be able to get back. And, you know, I want to be with my friend Eric and his wife Lala and be available to help them. We have to quarantine ourselves for a while. I don't know that Tiffany will ever get to see them while we're there.
Yeah.
But we're planning on being in the States for like 6 or 7 months. And with all these weird changes, we'd have to get, there's just all kinds of weird shit in the air. Things just sort of changed. We're going to have to go back. I'm going to go back early, pick up the van, go to fix all the problems that are going on with it, take it to Panama, put it on a ship, and Paley and I will fly to Colombia, and then Tiffany will come meet us in Colombia. So unfortunately, Tiff's going to miss out on Panama. But, you know, we have much.
Things could be much worse.
Yeah, that's our biggest problem is the thing to be celebrating, not to be bemoaning. So,
yeah.
Anyhow, that's our update for now. Anything else we're forgetting to tell people? Our pal Leah came out to see us, which is really nice. She flew from San Francisco right before the whole just butthole dropped out of society and everybody got locked down.
Yep.
But it was great having her with us. She's like a real spark of just
sunshine.
And she's an incredible photographer. Her photos, if you want to see some of the photos that she took while she was with us, I will put up a link to Leah's Instagram on our whatever shit we have, social medias. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, it's worth checking out. Her stuff is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's it. That's all, I think.
Yeah.
Paley's doing fine.
Paley's fantastic.
He's all vaccinated and ready to go back to the States. All he needs is a bath. He is now officially my emotional support animal. And, you know, people will give you shit about that sort of thing, which is understandable. You know, it's also understandable to tell those people to go fuck themselves. I think it's totally fair. If you want to give somebody a hard time about having an emotional support animal and they haven't been to like war, I get it. And that's probably what it's for. However, I do have tremendous anxiety. Tiffany's witnessed that. And it is assuaged greatly by the presence of my little pal. I love having him with me, and having him on the airplane with me is going to be tremendous. I don't take drugs. I don't do a bunch of shit. I'm not going to like take Valium or something to calm down.
You're going to take Pele.
I'm going to take Pele, and he's going to be right there with me. Okay. Let's talk about Nicaragua.
Sí.
We came into Nicaragua from, we skipped Honduras. We only like less than a full 24-hour period. We went across the southern border, stayed one night in a little town called Choluteca.
Mm-hmm.
We swam in a swimming pool. We watched this, like, what do you call it, a throuple? It was like a gay...
trio, I don't know.
It was like a gay, like really, really small, super effeminate gay guy. And look, I don't mean to be offensive. I don't know how to say it. Like a lady or man dressed like a lady, tranny.
Is that a transvestite?
Transvestite. Is that okay to say? I don't know what the proper term is.
I think that's the word.
Just know that I don't mean any harm. If you're insulted by the way I've said this, please write me a nice email and tell me the right way to say it. Back in the 80s, people would have said chick with a dick or something. And that's clearly not okay to say. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'm whatever. There was a little, like, very small, effeminate gay dude, a man with boobs, and like this really pretty young girl just like frolicking in a pool and eating hamburgers and dicking around. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, we'd heard all this like terrible stuff, like dangerous things about Honduras. And then we just watched this like super open-minded, really liberal thruple, hanging out in a pool. Yeah, it was
drinking
great.
Drinking a bucket of beer,
eating hamburgers, splashing each other, giggling. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if I've been offensive. I mean no offense. I could care less what you do with your genitals. It's great. And I guess feel free to do it all in Honduras now.
Mm-hmm. Woo! Well.
Progress. Okay, from there, we went to León in mm-hmm. Nicaragua.
Sí.
What'd you think about that border crossing?
The border crossing from, we went to, through, oh goodness, I'm not going to remember the name now.
I don't remember the name of the town. It doesn't matter. We went through, I'll catch up on it. But we went through like,
The border crossing into Nicaragua was under construction. And it was, just dust and dirt.
And heat. It was like practically on fire.
Guasuale.
It was bananas. I mean, just like running around. We spent one of the longest, the things that took the longest was a guy just finding change. And they wouldn't take El Salvadoran or Honduran currency. They wanted dollars.
Dollars, American dollars.
But the change that they would give you for those American dollars was in Honduran currency. Yeah, it was Goomba. Anyway, it was brief. And then, so yeah, from Lyon, what we like hung out there. We went to some museums,
mm-hmm.
learned a little bit of the history of their revolution.
To the Revolutionary Museum and the Museum of Leyendas y...
Mythos y Leyendas. Yeah, Myths and Legends, which was really interesting.
It was very cool to learn some of the history of the country from the museums, and it was very hot.
Fucking hot.
In Leon.
Yes.
It's like 100+ degrees. And this was, we entered Nicaragua, what was it? February 8th, I believe.
Yeah. It was not a month you would traditionally associate with 100-degree weather.
No.
But at night, we stayed like a little bit out of town on this beautiful ranch. It was super, super cool. And it was just like breezy and nice, and it cooled down and you could actually sleep under a single sheet, which is nice. But yeah, the town of Leon is interesting. It's super political. They've got a lot of deep connection to their revolution. And there's still turmoil in the country. Due to recent events. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But in 2018, there was a huge, huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
Riots in the streets, and many people killed and disappeared. And there are, 100,000 Nicaraguan refugees around the world? I think 80,000 of them live in Costa Rica now.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But
yeah, it was interesting to get a little slice of that in Leon. And we spent like, 2-3 days there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was our first contact with ticks, really, on this journey. And Pele got He got bit up a couple times and ended up like having parasites. Like, we had to take him to a vet, get some shots for the poor little guy. But anyway, so we bailed on Leon and drove north, and I think a little bit north and east, really, because the curve in Central America, and went to a town that we'd heard about from our pal in El Salvador, Matagalpa. We were planning on going to school there, and we were trying to book classes at this really, really cool looking school. Their website was awesome. Everything was beautiful. We didn't hear back from anybody, but that's, I don't know, fairly typical traveling around in Central America. So we went up there to Matagalpa, which is cooler. It's not nearly as hot. And it's an old, kind of cool old city with like some of the colonial thing going on, but it's also got more of a, just like a local sort of vibe. It's not like a huge tourist town. Definitely a coffee growing region, very agricultural, lots of hills. And we walked up to the school on the second day that we were there, like getting ready to go, you know, sign up. And it was cerrado, closed, nada, nothing. But we ended up finding one of the teachers who used to work at that school, and she was doing private lessons, and it worked out amazingly well for us. We went with Hazel for a week of Spanish classes, and I think we learned a lot. It was just not just Espanol, but we learned about Nicaraguan culture. She gave us a cooking class. It was delightful, and she was just, I mean, such a sweet and thoughtful and cool human being. We're very fortunate to hang out with her. And we spent 9 days there with
Bomberos de Nicaragua.
Los Bomberos. Tell everybody what a bombero is.
It's a fireman. Firefighter. Excuse me. It's a firefighter. We parked in their parking lot. Thanks to this ever-present, always helpful app called iOverlander. This was put on there as a place where you could potentially park and, quote, camp. And so we stayed there for 9 days, like you said.
9 days, yeah.
They were so incredibly kind. They knew exactly when we pulled up what we were wanting, because quite a few people come through there, and told us where to park, and they showed us where the bathrooms are. They ended up opening up a shower for us so we could use their kitchen, their weight room, which was interesting.
Yeah.
And they just like welcomed us with open arms. They were so incredibly kind. And we spent, you know, the next 9 days getting to know quite a few of them, and we still could communicate with a couple of them.
Yeah, we, those guys, they saw our van, which is, you know, big and red. It looks like a bombero vehicle. They're like, oh, are you a firefighter in California? You got the big beard. What are you doing? It's like, no, I don't fight fires. Like, well, our street cred is you being a nurse. They only had a lot of respect for you. And they loved Pelé. Oh my God. They played with him and just laughed at his crazy character. Man, they were just, they were incredibly hospitable. Every morning I would get up and go by, there was like a really cool little tienda just, I mean, right on the same block as us. I would buy a bunch of like, you know, like morning bread type stuff, kind of sweet stuff and empanadas and things, and bring it in, and they would, you know, give me cups of coffee, and we would just shoot the shit. And there was only one guy there that really spoke pretty good English, very good English. There was Ronnie. Another guy, Ronnie, yeah. There's another guy, Anthony, who is a fascinating dude. I really wanted to get him on the podcast, but he wasn't having it. His English is más o menos okay, but he is a FIFA referee. He's refereed games in soccer or football, and futsal, which is like this crazy miniature soccer thing, all over Central and South America. He's, you know, been in the military. He's traveled all over the world. Very, very interesting guy. And he took us to this festival, like the Festival de Matagalpa, where they shut down the street that connects two parks in town, Parque a Parque. And there's like, what, 4 or 5 bands playing up and down the street. And he, you know, everyone that we talked to about it was like, yeah, go check it out, but just don't stay out too late. You know, be sure to come back after a little while. like it's safe, but you know, like anything, nothing good happens after so many drinks. Mm-hmm. And we watched some pretty good bands, and then we watched a really good band at like the far end of the street. We hung out for a while, like cumbia, and I mean just super upbeat Latin, really sexy singer. It was cool. And then on the way back, we stopped at a stage that there were no musicians on, and they were just like playing 80s music. Mm-hmm. So Tiffany stops and's like dancing, and while she's doing that, this really, really drunk dude comes up to me. And he's, I don't know, like a foot shorter than I was, or I am, whatever. I don't know what the tense is right there. He was a foot shorter than me, and he like, it's like trying to shake my hand and hug me and talk all this shit. I was like, okay, okay. And he kept on coming in for a hug. I was like, man, I don't really want a hug. I was pushing him back a little bit, and he just bit down on my left tit, just bit, I mean, hard. He bit the shit out of me, and I didn't even think. I just hit him in the throat with the, I don't know, with my hand in between my thumb and my forefinger, and hit, not super hard, but I hit him hard enough, and he was just drunk enough where he like stumbled backwards, and he fell on a lady. Like, I don't know if he rolled her ankle, but she was wearing high heels. It was such a shitty scene. And he jumped up and ran off. All these people are kind of staring at me. It's like, this is what they meant, but don't stay out too late.
Party's over.
Party is over. So we skedaddled back to the safety of the Bomberos parking lot. It was just a weird thing. Like the moment, and I'm not a like some tough guy. I don't know how to fight. I'm not like, but the moment my hand hit this guy's throat, I immediately felt super vulnerable. Like just, I've never really felt another man's throat in my hand, you know? And it's like, oh my God, that's what that feels like. If I were a violent dude, I could have really hurt that guy. And it just made me realize how like soft and vulnerable and, you know, I don't know, exposed a thing I am just having a throat. It's a good thing I don't drink too much. Anyhow, that's a dumb story. I'm glad it's over. So we hung out in Matagalpa for 9 days. It was incredible. We fell in love with the Bomberos. Mm-hmm. And then after school was over, we decided to go take a break and go up to the mountains. And
it took a big 20-minute drive.
Yeah, this is huge. But it was a crazy 20 minutes because you just go straight up and zigzagging around. And we hit this like really super coffee growing area that was just, I mean, spectacularly beautiful and lush and green. It's called?
Aguas del Arena.
Yes.
It's owned by a Belgian and Nicaraguan couple. It's a, like a hotel, finca. They do like tours of their area, of their little finca as well. They do like, I have like, look. Hiking trips and stuff, and they have a little parking area, a grass parking area that they let overlanders use. So we were fortunate to pull up there, and there's like a nice stream running through the area, so we park right next to the stream. It was quite nice, and they were very kind to open up a room for us as well where we could use the shower and the bathroom. It's very, very kind people. And we stayed there, I think, two nights.
Yeah, two or three nights.
Two nights, just cooked, hung out, walked the trails.
Yeah, the trails were really cool. It was
a very, very beautiful place. Mm-hmm. Lots of big plants and fruit trees and coffee. Yeah,
super tropical, like a tropical mountain coffee growing stream laden paradise. The only real drawback, where the little ants were the most violent, aggressive little fuckers I've ever met. And it drives me a little crazy. I'm very kind to ants. Like I go out of my way to not step on them. I'm always like, oh, watch out, watch out. Making sure people don't step on them. When we were on our bicycle trip, I can't tell you how much of the time I spent looking down, trying not to run over ants. I'm fascinated by them. I think they're incredible. But those little fuckers love biting me for some reason.
Attacking.
I get bit by ants all the time. I don't know what it is, if I've got some sort of karmic debt to pay off and I'm making deposits via ant bite or what, but they, oh man, those little fuckers got me. Other than that, it was a great place. Mm-hmm. Okay, from there, we headed south. Mm-hmm. And what was funny, on the way, like, we had to pass back through Matagalpa and to stop mm-hmm. for gas. And while we're there, like, we were parked next to this really cool, like, 1970s Toyota, was it a Corolla or something, a Celica? I don't know what it was, but it was this hilarious 1970s Toyota sports car looking thing that was all decked out in Bombero
logos
and, you know, graphics and stuff. And but it wasn't working. Like, the wheels were off. And but when we pulled up to get gas, that thing pulls up. And it was this... Yeah, this one, I don't know if it was a captain or I forget his rank. He's a really, really sweet guy. He actually took us on a hike up to this huge cross that sits on top of the city. But yeah, we saw him. We're like, oh, man. So as he's pulling in to get fuel, we're both like, oh. That was his trademark thing. Every time you saw that guy, he would make that noise. And then like four or five other Bomberos showed up, and it was just kind of this... We thought we would never see them again, you know. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, here's a bunch of the guys. It was like a really good, sweet omen leaving this town. We left in kind of high spirits after those guys. But then we headed to this beautiful lake.
Laguna Apoyo. It's very close to Masaya in Granada. It was recommended by one of our friends on Instagram. And so we headed over there, found another IOverlander spot, a parking lot of a hostel right on the water. It was a very, very nice place. And we pull in and run into a German couple that we have randomly camped with twice prior to that. We first met them in San Miguel de Allende in Mexico, and then again in...
Twice in... In Guatemala.
Oh.
Yeah, we saw them in Antigua and in Atitlan.
Oh, that's right, so, yeah, that's
we've
right.
We've run into them three or four times.
Yeah. Camped with them in the same place in Antigua and in the same place in Atitlan, and then we randomly run into them in Nicaragua, and we don't communicate via telephone or social media, and we barely even talk to them because they kind of keep to themselves. But here we are.
Yeah.
Just run into them again. But yeah, that was a very, very nice hostel, and we paid for parking, but we could use everything that was available, the showers, the bathrooms, the common area, the Wi-Fi, the lakefront, kayaks.
And it was like super windy. It was like the choppiest, waviest lake I've ever seen. Pele loved it. He was like swimming all over the place, jumping in crazily. And there were all these other things we wanted to do. There was like this, there is this beautiful active volcano that you could see from the lake. I mean, we were perfectly situated to look at this thing, but it was closed. The entire thing was closed until, like, I don't know, for like several weeks.
Messiah.
Yeah.
Vulcan Messiah.
And it was closed because there was a daredevil aerialist guy. What was his name? Nick Walinda walked across the thing. He stretched a rope across a friggin' caldera or whatever, an active volcano, like a big crater, and walked across it with like toxic fumes and crazy shit bubbling out of it. So they, we couldn't walk across or go visit the whole park because he was doing that. But there was a really cool place. And while we were there, it was like the first that we were really starting to hear about the coronavirus.
Oh, yeah.
It was really sort of...
Early February.
Yeah, flittering into our consciousness, you know, like, hey, there's this thing coming. Was it early February or late February?
Mid-February.
And, you know, we were all just really starting to think about it, and then I got sick. I got, like, a sore throat. I couldn't smell. I was super achy. Just felt like dog shit for days. And I didn't want to do anything. Just sweating in the van and, like, drinking water and feeling miserable. No food tasted good, nothing. And, you know, I was like, man, it's pretty unlikely that I got this virus. But we were in a heavy European hostel. There were people from all over the place there. So I don't know. I don't think that I got it. But 4 days later, Tiffany got it. Mm-hmm. And just in contrast, like I did jack shit when I was sick. I felt so bad. I just wanted to lay around and like complain about how crappy I felt. Tiffany hiked more than three quarters of a volcano. And we'll get to that. But yeah, just to show you what I'm working with here. Anyhow, I don't know if we've had the coronavirus or not. I would tend to think not, but yeah, it was a lot of similar symptoms, just without the fever.
Yeah, we didn't have a temperature.
At least I don't think we did. Okay, so from our the depths of our infection, we went to Managua, which is a word I can never...
The capital.
Remember, it is the capital. Mm-hmm. But Managua, Managua, Man-agua, Man-water, that can't be what they mean.
No, it's not what they mean.
It's not what they mean. Mm-mm. But boy, it sounds gross when you break it apart like that. Man-water. Anyhow, we went to Managua, and it was bizarre. Mm-hmm. Super bizarro town. It was a strange time to be there. We mentioned that in 2018, there was a huge student uprising, massive protests around the country. I won't get into the whole thing because it's not for me to say exactly what it was, but it's worth looking into. People have serious, serious gripes with Ortega, the presidente, mm-hmm. And his wife, who is also the vice president.
I don't know the answer to that.
No, I said that with a question mark, but okay. I meant it. She's the vice president, yeah, which is... It's not to say that you shouldn't have your wife as the vice president, but it's kind of bizarre. And there, you know, the complaint is that he's not leaving power and he's consolidated power and he's behaving in ways that are very similar to the dictatorship, which they fought so hard to overthrow. And he was a hero of that revolution. Mm-hmm. And, honestly, there's a lot of shit that we cannot say about this because we don't want to get anyone in any trouble. We don't want to cause any trouble, but
there's serious restriction of freedom there.
Yes. Serious.
And especially freedom of speech.
Yes. Very
you
much
have
so.
To be, we were told many times, you have to be careful who you talk to and what you say. Because there's informants everywhere mm-hmm. and people are listening everywhere.
Yeah.
Which I did not come into Nicaragua with that thought at all. Like I had no idea. Honestly, really didn't know anything about 2018 and definitely didn't know that the current government is if not already, but a form of a dictatorship.
Yeah.
So it was eye-opening. It was eye-opening for sure.
Very eye-opening. And the... We met a guy at that lake, Laguna Apoyo, who was, he'd been a journalist and he was doing something different. He was like, hey, look, I've got friends because I expressed an interest in wanting to interview a journalist. So I'm fascinated. I mean, I like journalists anyway, but I was fascinated with what they'd gone through. And let me tell you, it was substantially fucked up, the sort of things that journalists were going through and are still dealing with. In 2018, I'd read about while we were there, La Prensa, the last remaining print newspaper in Nicaragua, was about to go out of business, and then finally the customs, their national customs released reams of paper and ink so that they could continue to print. They'd been holding those things for 18 months. If you can imagine a newspaper not allowed to pick up paper that they had purchased and ink that they had purchased, which had been shipped from a foreign country, they were not allowed to collect that for 18 months, coming near the brink of print death for their newspaper, which has been around for 100 years or more. It's totally crazy. So it was kind of like, oh man, I really want to talk to somebody. Then I met this guy. He's like, yeah, you should go to the office. And he gave me some contacts of some people to talk to. So we did. We drove to Managua, and we went straight to the newspaper. And I walked in the front door with my big, tall, goofy ass and was, asking questions. And I was doing my best to be tactful and understanding and like, hey, look, I know this is strange, but I've got this contact. And I was everything but told to leave. They just wanted me out of the building. They were so suspicious of me and curious of what my possible motive for being in there and asking those kinds of questions, which were not heavy questions. I just told them I had a podcast. I showed them our sticker, and you know, I was as goofy as you might expect me to be. I was just doing it in a different language, which I don't hold a very firm grasp of. And they were like, they did everything but told me to get the fuck out. And it was very sad to me that I can understand why they feel that way. And the sort of things that have happened to those people are tragic and dangerous and scary still.
Especially when on almost every corner coming into the city, there are groups of police in riot gear.
Riot gear.
When we came into the city, they were everywhere.
Hundreds. Hundreds of police officers.
Standing there. It was very intimidating. They were apparently there because there was going to be a manifestation or a walk from a church to a park. And so they were there, I guess, to show their force and presence. But it was definitely...
intimidating.
Yeah.
To say the least. Yeah. So I get it. I get why they didn't want me around, you know. But it's a shame I didn't get to meet anyone, because I would really like more people to be aware of the things that are going on in Nicaragua and the straight up election violations and the human rights violations and the things that I would like someone who's more informed about it to talk about than just me and my casual reading of it. But I couldn't find him. And we were really hoping to meet someone in Costa Rica. There was another journalist and we couldn't get them to talk to us either. So we struck out entirely on finding out any really useful information about this. So the most we can tell you is that you should read The Intercept. Jeremy Scahill and his team at The Intercept have done an amazing job of covering this with considering how very little information gets out of the country. And La Prensa is doing their bit to tell what stories they can, but it's not easy. But anyhow, we spent a couple nights, one night in Managua. My Uncle Gene died while I was there in Managua. He was an incredible guy, Uncle Shithead. And he died while we were in Managua. And it gave me a lot of time to think about heavy shit. I wrote a letter to my siblings, which I now regret. But I don't know. It's the sort of thing when you lose a family member, particularly one that you're not, like, he was probably the uncle I was the closest to, and we were not close at all. I hadn't seen him in years, you know, but I always loved him and thought of him as this charming, funny guy, and he was. And then, you know, that person passes, and you think about, God, and it turns out he died, I think, within, so my dad died on the 23rd, I think my uncle died on the 24th of the same month, and his wife died on, like, maybe the 25th. So within 3 days, you know, there's these death anniversaries, these, you know, very important people in each other's lives, and it made me think about my siblings and my family and all that sort of stuff. And just because you're thinking about it and being thoughtful and trying to say honest things doesn't mean it's a good idea. Sometimes, what's the phrase? Letter written, never sent. That would have been probably better. Oh well. Anyhow, that's not germane to what we're talking about. We're talking about Nicaragua, and it's an incredible place. Not the least of which is the city of
Granada.
Granada. And what did we met this character on a ferry boat ride? He's a Canadian guy who's lived in Nicaragua, what, like 20 years 20 or something?
Years, yeah.
And it's interesting. He's in probably, what, 70?
I think he said he was in the 70s.
Yeah. Canadian. And he's gay. Like this very, I don't know. I don't know how you just describe him. Kind of a rough guy. He had like four or five huge bottles of rum in his box of groceries. And he was like, oh, you went to Granada? That old tarted up whore of a city. It's like he just kept on referring to the city as like an old whore wearing makeup. It was the funniest thing. Like, man, I forget about the word whore. Like, golly, it's such a powerful, funny, strange word. It's clearly not nice to call somebody a whore, but I think it's actually perfectly okay if you are a whore. Like, I think the connotation of whore is stupid. Like, if you just, whatever. Yeah. But it is funny to, like, refer to a city as a whore, and especially an old
tarted
one, tarted up whore. And especially him, because he was, like, telling us these crazy stories about, I said, well, what's the experience like for you being gay here? Because it's such a macho-ass country. He's like, oh, you want to hear the most macho thing I've ever heard? He said, I'll meet guys who are like, hey, I want to have sex with you. And he's like, oh, I didn't know you were gay. He's like, I'm not gay. You're gay. But wait, what? You want to have sex with a gay man? Yeah, I want to have sex with you, but I'm not gay. You're gay. It's like, whoa, that is some deep, weird, fucked up chess machismo that I've never heard. Anyway, that's not part of it.
But that's Granada.
That's Granada. The old tarted up whore of Nicaragua. It is actually really pretty.
It's a beautiful colonial town.
Yeah, they've
very beautiful.
They've tarted that thing up all the way. We stayed there for
one night.
It was,
we were in and out.
Blazing hot, like just brutal, brutal hot. We stayed near the water and sweated through the night, and decided to go to the island of
Ometepe.
And it is a little island with two volcanoes on it in the middle of this huge lake. Lago Cochibolca. It's very hard for me to say.
It's fun.
How do you say it?
Cochibolca.
Say it one more time.
Lago Cochibolca.
Perfect. She nails it every time. You have to take a ferry from the town of San Jorge to get there. That's where we met the hilarious...
if you're taking a vehicle.
What's his name? Michael?
David?
Yeah.
Something.
George, Jorge. We took the ferry over, and I was starting to feel a little better, and you were starting to get sick. Mm-hmm. And throughout all of it, Tiffany didn't miss anything. The only thing you missed were, like, seriously, the last... less than a quarter of the hike up to the top of the volcano.
Yeah, we didn't get it to the top.
But we did. We drove all over this island. We hiked up this gorgeous waterfall, played in the water.
San Ramon.
Oh, it was awesome. It was very, very hot there, but it was like nice and windy. You could kind of cool off in the night. We ended up camping next to another family that we'd met randomly somewhere else. Just happened to pull up right next to them.
Yeah, we camped with them at Laguna Apoyo.
Yeah, they were awesome. We played in the lake, watched these gorgeous sunsets, and climbed a volcano. And then we met these people that we had on our last podcast, the circus people, Oren and Flavi and Sabine. They were really, really cool. We didn't get to spend a whole lot of time with them, but it was a nice little... end of our stay on the island. If I go back to Nicaragua, I definitely want to go there. It is inexpensive, it is beautiful, and it is just a cool place.
There's a lot to do.
There's plenty to do.
On a small island.
We barely scratched the surface because it was kind of towards the end of our visa was running out. And as a matter of fact, we left Nicaragua with zero time left. Yep. It was like time to go.
The day
that our visa ran out. So yeah, we hopped on the ferry, went back to San Jorge, and then stayed a night on the really close to the Piñas Blancas border of Costa Rica. And we were surrounded by
monkeys.
Muchos monos.
Three different types. Mm-hmm. The spider, the they call him Cara Blanca or white-faced capuchin. And the howler monkeys.
They're
everywhere.
We've seen Pele kind of interact with monkeys before, but we were surrounded by monkeys. I mean, there were two different types that were clowning around in the trees above us, and they were just everywhere. You could just hear and see monkeys all over the place. And this one, I can't remember, was it a howler or a Cara Blanca? I don't know. we filmed Pele and this monkey like just barking at each other. It was hilarious. It's probably not something we should encourage because we'll see more monkeys. We really don't want Pele to fuck with monkeys, but it's kind of funny. Anyway, it was a really beautiful way to say goodbye to the country that we liked so much. Just hanging out in this beautiful, windy, it was super, super windy, mm-hmm. with monkeys everywhere and beautiful flowers and a really nice lady who ran this little, it's a hotel that she let us park in her parking lot. There's not another soul around, just her and us. The Blue Morpho mm-hmm. Hotel and Restaurant. Mm-hmm. It was great. It was a really, really cool place. And being serenaded by monkeys and mm-hmm. in the night, and woken up in the morning by them. It's the best. And then, yeah, we left, went to Costa Rica.
Yep.
We'll talk about that later.
I think we were in Nicaragua for a little less than a month.
I would say it's definitely worth visiting Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. You know, we've met many people who are traveling, like just backpacking through mm-hmm. Central America. It would be well worth your time to just spend some months going through Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua.
Yeah, Nicaragua is known for the volcanoes. Mm-hmm. And it's history, it's revolutionary history. And it's coffee.
Oh my God, the coffee is so good.
And it's fairly, from, you know, Americans, it's fairly cheap.
It's very cheap. It's very inexpensive. Cheap. And if
I think it's...
The people need you. Yeah. Unfortunately, I hate to even say that, but like they need tourist dollars to return. Yeah. Since 2018, so much shit has closed.
Yeah. A lot of businesses are closed.
Yeah.
They need tourists bad.
It's not dangerous. It's not a dangerous place for tourists. No. They're not going to fuck with tourists.
No, definitely not mess with tourists.
But they want, the reason is you have to be careful of what you ask or who you say anything to. It's not for your safety. It's the person that you're asking. It's like the coronavirus. You're not so much just worried about getting it yourself. You're worried about how it will affect someone else. Going around asking questions in Nicaragua about the political situation. As a tourist, they just want you to shut up and fuck off. But if the person you're asking is overheard answering your question, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
So it's that sort of thing. The danger is no more or less than you're going to face in a lot of cities around the world. With, you know, when there's people who are poor and hungry, yeah, they do desperate things. And there are just criminals. That's just a real thing. But no, we loved it. Mm-hmm. I really had a great time there.
And we didn't get to see, you know, the Corn Islands, which are quite famous, or spend as much time as we would have liked on Ometepe.
Right.
So there's a lot to see in the country.
Yeah, I think I would definitely go back.
Yeah.
I would love to go back to Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua. Especially now that we're about to hop on a plane and go back to Marin County.
Which is beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's a lovely place. We're very fortunate to go back there. You know, Tiffany has been out of the States for almost a year. Mm-hmm. I went back for 2 weeks around... Was it like Halloween? Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, those 2 weeks were really weird. Like super, super weird to go back and be in that environment. Especially coming from Mexico where like things are just a little bit more free. I know that sounds weird, but these cultures and these people down here are so cool. You know, the Costa Rica is experiencing this thing right now. Like the coronavirus is here. There are people dying. There have already been people dying. There are lots of cases. It's, you know, it's ramping up. When you go in a grocery store, there's everything. Everything's still there. Mm-hmm. You can buy toilet paper. You can buy food. You can do whatever. You don't see hoarding. You don't see this panic. You don't see all this bullshit self-preservation. You see people behaving normally.
Carefully.
They're very careful. They're very aware of it, but they're not like...
They're doing the social distancing. They're doing the limiting of people in areas. People are wearing masks.
closing off parks. Like you go to a park, all the benches, you can't sit down on a park bench.
Nope, can't sit in a plaza. They don't.
Now, I do think that the quarantine, stay at home sort of thing is a good idea. I'm all for that. They're not doing that here yet, which I'm not quite sure why. But
are they not?
No, I mean, there's still all kinds of shit open. But it's not a mandatory sort of thing. Like they haven't shut all these businesses. Oh, people are kind of doing that on their own. But the thing that they are definitely not doing, which I really appreciate, is this panicking and this like sort of, I don't know, man, like this squirreling away of shit, like buying 12 of a thing you would never need 12 of. Mm-hmm. You know, expecting the bottom to fall out of everything. They're just not behaving like that. It's egalitarian, sort of, but it's mostly just like, yeah, okay, well, there's this thing, we got to do this thing. You know, we'll take care of each other and we'll be okay. So take a lesson from the Central Americans and don't panic. You know, look after your people. We'll be there soon. We'll be looking after whoever we can, trying not to touch them.
Washing our hands.
Washing our fucking hands and trying not to panic.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy a whole bunch of things. Today I went to go find some masks. I wanted to be able to find, like, because my mom told me about this scenario at her hospital. And we found some. We didn't find the mask we were looking for. But I knew if we found like a big stash of tons of masks, I wasn't going to buy them all. just not in my nature to do that sort of shit. But I would have bought some. And some to make sure I could just send my mom some. But you don't want to be like depleting a country that could very easily get hit really hard. You know. So just think before you buy shit. And if you know someone out there who's buying shit in a dumb way, feel free to shame them publicly from a distance. Anyhow, we are continually grateful. We love you. We love that we get to do this. We're going to keep on interviewing people. We're going to be in the Bay Area. There's lots of interesting people there.
You have any ideas or suggestions, please send them our way.
Yeah. Oh, and if you're going to be, if you live in that area and you have a room to rent, you know, Tiffany is going to be working in Santa Rosa. We are going to be staying in Marin County. There's a good distance there. 3 nights a week, she needs a place to stay. So
in the Santa Rosa area.
In the Santa Rosa area.
Por favor.
Yeah, if you're not a murderer or a, like a, you know, super creep, mild creep, fine, whatever. But, you know, super creep, forget it. Drop us a line. And if you want to hang out, give us a call. mtp.dog/contact if you don't have our phone number.
We love you. Thanks for listening to our rambles. We hope you all stay safe and healthy. And can't wait till we can hug people and sit and have conversations face to face with people, hopefully sooner than later. Adios, amigos. Abrazos y besos.
There goes my head, there goes my head. Throating on in the swear jar, in the swear jar. Storms cry inside now, not much better, stormy weather. I am writing a songbook on a garden where we built a home, black flowers, and the stories, the lies that they wrote, escape me in the wind. have stopped breathing. In the garden where we built a home, black flowers.
Julie.